Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Another day of four playoff games in baseball. Astros need to win to avoid elimination. Then Zach Eflin pitches for the Orioles this afternoon. They try to avoid elimination. Mets, Brewers, that one's at 7:30 tonight. And we got to root for the Brewers. We need that thing to go to a game three. Everyone uses all their pitchers. And I think the Braves are cooked tonight. I think the Padres are going to sweep them right out of this thing and move on and play the Dodgers. Let's get back to your phone calls. But first, what's going on with the Hassan Reddick situation? So last week, or I guess a couple days ago, we got the news that he's not allowed to be traded back here because of
Of some weird rule.
So we're finding more stuff out about what's going on. And by the way, Hassan Reddick is still at home. You know, the Jets are about to play their fifth game of the season, and he's still at home.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the latest?
So we got a tweet yesterday from an old friend, Jacina Anderson. Mm. Now, this is worded like oddly, so I'm going to do my very best to make this make sense. The tweet says, new. I'm told a Jets 2026 second-round pick is conditionally involved in the trade. Per sources, my understanding is that said condition is dependent upon the specifics of where Reddick lands if traded again. That's the part that's important and provides additional context to the protracted situation now. The Reddick trade was previously reported as only involving a 2026 conditional third-round pick. So from what I gather, or what I believe this means, is depending on where he goes, the Eagles will, I believe this conditional third just defaults to a second, because a lot of this was based on amount of playing time with the Jets. If it turns out the Jets have to trade him, then the Eagles don't get screwed in this scenario, which was something that we had worried about.
Yep. I have a theory on this, because she leaves it vague.
Yeah.
But I think it's protection that they don't reroute him to Dallas or the Giants or Washington.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles may have said, if you send him to these three or four or five places, then you have to give us a second-round pick. Like, you can't just send him to the Cowboys without us knowing about this. I think they might have something to do with that.
Yeah. Mm.
It's obviously a mess. I mean, like, they...
Yeah, this has gotten... It's crazy how he's standing on business. It kind of felt like he was prepared for whatever the worst was going to be, and it's gotten bad over the last couple of weeks.
He's getting cooked, dude.
I wonder, is there a drop-dead date where he has to come back, or is he going to let this full season go?
I think he's going to walk away from $17 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. I
commend somebody who is that convicted in whatever it is that they believe, that they're willing to do that. It's almost like the Dave Chappelle thing. You remember the story that came out a few years ago with Dave Chappelle when he was doing the Dave Chappelle show? He walked away from like $25 million,
yeah,
and everybody thought he was crazy. And he bounced back, and he probably was worth more than that plus. Now, this don't feel like the same situation, but it's similar.
It is similar. The one thing that's different, Hassan could do whatever he wants. Dave Chappelle, right, a comedian, has a shelf life of their entire life, right?
Yes.
Like, they could do comedy.
You got where
Hassan
I was putting down.
He's only getting older. Like,
yes,
he's going to lose a whole
it's
year.
It's different in the NFL.
Yeah, he's not going to get more valuable to NFL
yes,
teams.
That's the point. That's why I said that's where it's different. I understand the premise, and I understand you're standing on business, but you only have so long to play this game.
Yeah.
And your body's only going to hold up for so long. I'm getting all the bread that they're willing to give me. You can have it. I'll suck it up, and I'll figure out next year when I get a chance. But $17 million? It's a lot of money.
Speaking of, earlier when we had Seth in here, we had so much going on, we didn't really get to have fun with it. When Seth was saying that Darius Slay is in his stealing years, you said you tried that.
I tried to steal.
It didn't work.
I knew I was still, they wouldn't let me steal. It's like, nah, brother.
I mean, what are we paying for?
I was trying to steal. What they say in hockey, skate your wing.
Yeah.
I was scared. I was trying.
And the Jaguars said, get out.
They were like, not on our watch.
Not here. Let's go to Mike in Washington Township. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Hugh, Joe, what's up, boys?
What's going
How
on?
How you doing,
man?
Mike?
Yeah, I'm so pissed about this Eagles defense. I can't even explain it. Their just lack of physicality is just making me so mad. Especially like that one goal line stand they almost had. Fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. They have Baker Mayfield run that read option play.
Yep.
And Reed Blankenship just comes late. Like, you can't be hesitant right there on the goal line, fourth and goal. Like, you got to stick him. in my opinion.
Well, Mike, I agree with that. It's one thing if it's Cam Newton coming down there or even Jalen Hurts, right? Like, Baker Mayfield is more mobile than most. He's not immobile, but, like, he shouldn't be the one, you know, lowering his shoulder and beating you.
No. You can't get run over right there if you're Reed Blankenship. And I'm a fan of Reed Blankenship, but you got to make that play.
It's true. And unfortunately, Mike, they just don't make enough big plays. Like, they get torched, and then they don't make, like, a play that's a 50-50 play. In three of the four games, they haven't done it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. It really drives, and just the lack of tackling, just it drives me insane.
Well, they're one of the worst tackling teams I've seen in a long time.
It's
remarkable. I mean, if you miss 18 tackles in a game, I mean, you basically didn't show up.
Yeah. And another thing, I got Phillies winning both games this weekend, 2-0 to start the weekend.
That would be nice.
And then
we go
to New York or Milwaukee, and we finish it off there. Mike appreciates it. There we go. He's not worried about a layoff or, you know, the Mets, or I'm a little worried about, or the Brewers, whatever.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, never mind. I'm going to keep that to myself.
No, here we go. You're nervous.
You flip-flopping again?
No, I'm not. I'm going to keep it to myself.
I can see you shaking over there.
You are nervous.
I'm going to keep it on a positive vibe. I'm just going to, you know, we've heard these conversations before. Like, you know, people talking about they're going to win just because.
Well, not just because. They have a great
on their chest.
No, they have a tremendous bullpen. Zach Wheeler.
Remember last week when we talked about the Eagles were going to win just because?
I don't know if it was just because.
Yeah, which one of us said that?
No, it was just because.
I'm talking about the callers.
Yeah.
Oh. You know,
but
the callers.
That's a football Friday. I mean,
come on. We can't put.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
The callers, man.
Yeah, no. I'm looking at a free throw.
But Herb talk about.
Also.
Herb talk about handling business from planes.
Yeah. If we're being real, the Phillies are better than the Eagles. I mean, we have false bravado with the Eagles week to week because we're hoping. The Phillies are legitimately really good.
Of course.
They've been right there as the best team all year.
I agree with that.
Dodgers took the best record at the end, but they've been, you know, for most of the season, had the best record in baseball.
No, I agree with that.
TR is up next on WIP. Hey, TR. TR?
He blowing his moment.
I mean, come on.
All right, TR, we'll push back on him. We'll get that figured out. Big Murph is up next. Hey, Big Murph.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Big Murph. What's up?
Man, I was just giving you a call, man. I've been thinking about the Eagles quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it goes back to 2016. I'm going to try to make this quick.
Okay.
They brought in Wentz. Excuse me. Looked good rookie year, getting rid of the ball real quick because he didn't know what he was doing. 2017 kind of stood at that pace, went MVP level. They finally got running backs, which they never had before, three of them, pounders. Okay, fast forward to 2020, he gets the money, he's toast. The head coach is toast too. Then we see the same scenario with Jalen Hurts. Totally different background, two totally different players. Coach's kid, you think it's going to be different, it winds up the same way. They all play hero ball, they all go for the deep ball. Do you guys think there is a fundamental issue from an organizational standpoint where these guys eat up their quarterbacks? They give them the money, they get in their head, and they just overwhelm them.
Yes.
To the point of burnout, and they get stuck.
Murph, I think there's something.
When you say overwhelm them, you mean expecting, you know, are you saying like give them $200 million and expect them to grow?
Not at all, Hugh. Not at all.
Okay.
And you should know better from Central State, brother. You got to earn your keep in that league. You don't get in there for free and they don't give you a handout.
Definitely.
But what I'm saying is, uh-huh. I'll get right to it. What I'm saying is they always have wanted to pass you.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to every coach all the way back to Andy Reid. The deficit was always, why won't they run? Why won't they run? Why won't they run?
Okay.
The one year they did run the football and they concentrated on that, they got us the Super Bowl. It wasn't just Nick Foles. It was running the defense.
Oh, you're right. Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blunt. Murph, I think you're onto something. And here's my –
I think
you're right. And I have a theory on it as well as what you're saying. I think part of it has been because of the structure of this, you know, the way rookie quarterbacks are cheaper, you know, before you get paid, they're able to build up these great teams around them, 2017, and then the same thing in 22, and then they play well, they win, and I think they've almost fooled themselves into thinking these guys are truly special, when the reality is they were good, and then they were, you know, helped out by a lot around them, and then they pay them, and then they're like, oh no, maybe they're not quite as great as we thought. I think there's something here. Yeah,
I don't want to cut you off. I think that's a piece of it, but I think their desire to get big plays, to score points, I think they put the burden on these kids to perform that way, which is not what got them in the league in the first place. And then they're displaced, and then you're trying to put a square peg through a round hole. Then the kid gets burnt out. Then it's like, okay, let's start the machine all over again with a new quarterback. I bet you on everything I own, on my grandkids, on everything, they draft a quarterback this year.
I think you're right.
Unless they win the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
Jalen Hurts.
I think you're right.
That's just my opinion, one guy's opinion. It's not fact. But, you know, you walk back through the history books. I'm 51 years old. I've been watching since the 80s when they were terrible. At least we have something to watch now. You know, I think that whole thing started when you came in, Hugh, and it was a renaissance with Andy Reid, and he learned what to do at the quarterback position, and the Eagles are still trying to use his formula, and they're scrapping to do such, and you mix that with analytics, it's a bad brand of football. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you
for the call. I'll call in again soon.
Awesome. That's a good call, Murph.